Hello everyone, welcome back to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Thank you so much for everyone who has been tuning in and leaving us messages. We've really enjoyed this first season back after a long break. And we are actually coming up towards the end of this season, and we've decided to do 10 episodes in a row and then take a short break to reset. So I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but I do want to introduce today's topic. And today we will be talking about reels, and in particular, our approach with reels and how it's changed over the last year or two, some of the mistakes that we've made along the way, and what we are doing now that we are in, I guess I would say, a bit of a better headspace when it comes to reels, because both Richie and I, we weren't too happy about the change and shift towards short form video content. And it's taken us a while to make peace with it and also discover ways to make reels that feel satisfying. They are creative. They satisfy, I guess, our creative desires. They don't take too much time. They're not too onerous. And importantly, they help our art business. So that's what we'll be talking about. As I just said before, we are heading towards the end of this season of the podcast. We have one more episode to go, and then we'll be taking a short break, and we will be coming back. So don't panic. It's just going to be probably 2 or 3 weeks. We'll decide that. Richie and I need to sit down and actually determine the date, and we'll let you know next week in our last episode of the season. For the last episode, I thought that it would be good to do a Q&A style episode, or perhaps just touch on some topics that we've talked about this season. If there are any areas where you would like to go a bit deeper, or maybe a question has come into your mind, then let us know. So you could do that by sending me a DM, an email. I think you can do it on the Spotify app as well. I'll have a look into that. But if you do have questions, let us know. I'll put something up on my stories as well. So keep an eye on my stories over the next week or two, and then we'll do that as our last episode of the season. So let's get into today's topic, reels. So reels have been around for a pretty long time now. They've become part of the norm of social media. And last week when we were talking about Pinterest, we started to talk a bit about how we feel about this infiltration of short form, vertical video content across various platforms, even Pinterest. But we have YouTube Shorts, we have TikTok. We have Pinterest, as I said. Facebook has reels. It's pretty much everywhere now. So it's hard to avoid reels. I think it's something that we do have to adapt to as artists and find a way forwards. And so that's what we've been doing, with a lot of experimentation over the last year or two to see what works. And we've figured some stuff out along the way. I wouldn't call us reels experts, but we have started to share reels on a pretty regular basis, a few times a week. And we have some ideas around what we are doing now. We're not just, you know, navigating in the dark anymore. We have, I guess, what you would call a bit of a strategy around reels and how we use them. So perhaps we will kick off this conversation with the mistakes that we've made. I think we've done a little list this time. So this is the first podcast episode that we've done this season where we actually have a list of points. But I don't know, I feel like that had to come out eventually, didn't it?
I was just thinking to myself, maybe you just wrote 7 mistakes down, because we have so many mistakes that we made. I'll cap it at 7.
I'll cap it. I was going to do 10, but then I started to get a bit over all these mistakes. I thought 7 would be enough. But it's funny, because you know how at the beginning of this season we talked about keeping things really simple, short descriptions, no notes, and we have been doing that. But I just noticed on the last episode I wrote a little rough outline. It's got longer. So I need to dial it back again because I'm starting to step into my old ways. But we are taking a more relaxed approach. And even last week when we talked about Pinterest, I was thinking about this morning. A few years back, if I was doing an episode which I considered to be a technical mini training, which is what I talked about last week with Pinterest, I would have done a whole lot of research and maybe spent quite a few hours preparing, making sure I had all the facts and things like that, looking at what other people were doing, trying to make sure that I was, you know, at the cutting edge of whatever it is that I'm talking about. Whereas last week, we just sat down and I shared what I do in relation to that platform. And I probably left a few things out. There's probably some new features I could have talked about, but I just shared from my own experience of using that platform for probably 10 years. And I realized, like, that's enough. I don't have to go down this massive rabbit hole of research in order to put out a podcast episode like that. So I'm sharing that because I feel like it's personal progress as far as being perfectionistic and making things hard for myself. I'm trying to find easy ways to do things with every aspect of my art and my art business. And the same applies with reels. And, you know, sometimes we'll create reels that maybe they don't reach the amount of people that we could if we spent a lot of time planning and, you know, putting together an idea with the mindset, oh, we want this reel to be super, super successful and reach a lot of people. But quite often we're making reels from content that we already have, we're repurposing things. It's not really about that. It's about using what we have and making it easy and having this more relaxed approach. And what I find when we do that is that we are reaching our core audience. So it's probably less about gaining a huge amount of new followers with those types of reels. But I do feel like sometimes we underestimate looking after and nurturing all the people that have already said yes to us and who have already signed up or followed, or, you know, they really do love seeing different aspects of what you do. And just because you don't get the huge amount of views and it doesn't go viral doesn't mean that it's not helpful in some kind of way. I will get into the mistakes, but just saying that has made me think of something which I have been using to guide my art business this year. So over on YouTube, when we put up YouTube videos, sometimes YouTube provides feedback or advice.
That's AI generated though, yeah?
Yeah, so this is all automated. You know, I'm talking about YouTube as if it's a person, but anyway. Sometimes lovely YouTube sends me a message saying, Laura, have you thought about doing this on YouTube? Well, I had one of these messages recently and the message was about the different types of content that you create and the idea that there should be variety. And that you could benefit your channel, so this is YouTube I'm talking about, by having a mixture of these three types of content. And the way they laid it out and explained it makes a lot of sense. So there are how-to videos or how-to content. So these are usually tutorials where you are providing a specific tip or idea that someone can implement. These types of videos, and this can be applied to reels as well, are really good for bringing in new audiences, and particularly over on YouTube where people might search something. So they'll go into YouTube and they might say, I want to learn how to make collage papers, or I want to paint watercolor flowers. So it's very SEO driven. So it's kind of like keyword search type content. And this type of content will often bring new people over because they search and they find you. So that's the how-to content. And then they have what they call hub content. And the hub content is all about nurturing the community that you have. And this is often things like vlogs or sit down chats and things that are more personal that people who have been following you a while really love, and they can get to know you on a deeper level. And then they have hero content, and hero content is about being aspirational. So it's really inspiring. I'm trying to think what would fit into this, and I may get this wrong, but I think it is things like being a bit of a thought leader, presenting your opinions on topics, perhaps sharing like how you've grown as an artist. Sometimes that might involve sharing some numbers and things like that. So it might be the kind of video where you talk about your income streams as an artist and stuff like that. There's always going to be a little bit of crossover. So there might be a bit of crossover between how-to content and hero content. But this idea of having how-to, hub and hero, I thought, well, that's a really good way of thinking about it, because they serve different purposes. They serve the purpose of, you know, teaching people how to do something, maybe connecting with people on an emotional level, and then inspiring and motivating people. And I feel like that approach can be very useful when creating reels too, to think about that, the fact that your content can have different purposes and benefits, and it's not always about the numbers of views or the numbers of likes or the numbers of saves. If you are hitting these different areas, the culmination of it can be fantastic. And what YouTube warns against, when they talked about this in the little message I got, it warns against just doing one. So it warns against just making purely how-to videos, because if you do that, you don't get that repeat where people come back and watch more and check in on you if you haven't nurtured them in a hub type video. So YouTube was saying to me that I do a lot of hub content, and that makes sense to me because I do really like that type of content, which is great for the people that already know and follow me. And what YouTube was suggesting was that perhaps I would consider doing some more how-to content to bring in new audiences. That was the advice from YouTube, and I think that it's quite helpful broadly across many different platforms. So to get back to the mistakes, I guess that ties into one of them, which was not embracing the idea of having variety in the type of reels that you share. So one of the mistakes that you might make is getting on a trend or an idea, and it might be working really well. So you just keep on making that same type of reel, and it might be one of those categories. So you might just do tips, always just do short tips. But what I've noticed with reels is that things change, and what's popular for a few months or a year even won't be popular forever. And so having variety is really a way of protecting yourself and also keeping yourself creatively satisfied and inspired and avoiding burnout and frustration. Because if you are a creative and you are doing the same thing again and again and start following a formula, you will eventually get sick of that type of content, and it will become a burden and a chore to do it. And you don't want that. So what we try to do is mix it up a lot. When you go and look at our reels, you will find a wide variety of different types of reels in the feed. So you will see that we sometimes pull clips from our podcast. Sometimes I share a very specific tips video, and they do really well. They tend to be the highest performers, where we share something like, how do you avoid tape sticking to your paper with a watercolor piece where you've put a border down? Or, you know, how do you glue collage papers without bubbles and things like that? They have been very successful for us, those tip type videos, and they tie into the how-to category and often bring in new people. But something like our podcast may not get the same traction, but those kind of clips are really great for people who already engage with some of our content, perhaps listen to the episode, and then they might comment, oh, I really loved that episode of the podcast, or I can't wait to listen to it. So it has a bit of a different purpose, and we don't have the same expectation of that type of reel as we would for the how-to content. And I think when you start to understand that, you become so much more relaxed, because when I share something from the podcast and I see, okay, it's got this many views and it's a lot less than one of our how-to tips, it doesn't make me feel like, oh, I should stop doing that, because I understand how this works now, and I understand that the best way to grow is to have this combination of content that brings in new people but also nurtures people that are already in your existing audience. So having that variety is really valuable. And that's something that I would suggest. I don't think that going all in on one type of reel is a good long-term strategy. So what else did I have on my list? Maybe you can just remind me of what other mistakes we've made.
One of them that you have here is not editing to the music.
Yeah, so initially I didn't realize how important the music is with reels. So sometimes I would get some footage and just bang on a song. Quite often I would just choose music that I like, and I wouldn't worry too much about making that music a real feature of the reel. So this was pretty much in the very early days. The more I began to watch reels and flick through them, I realized how much creators use the music as part of the overall experience of a reel. And that can be picking trending songs. That can be one strategy, but sometimes it's not necessarily about having a trending song. It might just be having a song that really suits what you are sharing. The lyrics might match in some kind of way, or even just getting some of your transitions on the beat. And that can make a huge difference. And one of the reels that we have shared that was really successful was really punchy and snappy, and the action was happening in line with the music. And that's probably something you can speak to a bit more, because you do a lot more work with editing in relation to editing to the music and making those transitions sharp. But it is something that we had to work on, because we were just taking footage from, sometimes it would be from our online classes or something that we'd filmed, and we didn't realize how much we needed to change our approach to editing to factor in that we were creating it for a reel. Because when you are creating content for an online class or a YouTube video, it's a much slower pace and you've got time. You know, the video might be 20 minutes long, whereas a reel could be as short as 7 seconds. So we've had to change a lot, haven't we?
Yeah, but the fundamentals remain the same. Whether it's a long form video or a short form video, how you cut and how you transition remains the same.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm just thinking about how in the last few months, or probably since the beginning of this year, we have shortened our reels even more. So we started off with sharing reels that were around 30 to 40 seconds. I don't actually remember, but I think initially you could do a minute on reels, and we quite often would max out at a minute. So we would just think, oh, well, we will use the maximum amount that you can and get the most footage out to people. And then we started to drop it down to 30 or 40 seconds because we were hearing people say that people's attention spans with reels are much shorter. You really need to get to the action quicker. And so we started to do that. This year, we made a change again and even cut it down further. And we started to make reels that were only 10 to 15 seconds. Now, I have heard many people say that 7 seconds is the magic number. We haven't quite got to that point yet of creating reels as short as 7 seconds.
The 7 seconds is a cheat. You'll see a reel that's really engaging for 7 seconds, but your brain won't pick up what's in it. So you'll go back and watch it again, and you'll pause it, And you go back and watch it again and watch it again and watch it again. So it's not a question. The 7 seconds isn't really what's the ideal length. For me, I think the ideal length is as long as it takes to get the message across. But from that marketing point of view, you start playing now with, do we do 7 to trick them into watching it a couple of times, or do you do the 15 seconds and get the message across?
And that's something that you have to decide, and you have to decide on what feels right for you as a creator. And I've heard that too. It's all about getting people to loop and watch multiple times. We haven't been overly interested in pursuing something like that. We have seen a benefit in shortening our reels, but we still want them to have the juice in them that we desire and to get the message across. So that's the approach that we've taken, is to shorten things. So in relation to editing,
I just wanted to come back to the editing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about editing visually because I used to edit to the song that we would pick, because we have a subscription to a music catalog, and I would edit to the beat. So every time I did a cut, I would make sure the song matched the cut. Now I don't do that anymore because I give you the footage with no audio. Because a couple of months ago, well, I haven't been on Instagram for a while now, but I remember when they brought in the catalog where you could pick a popular song. So I don't edit to a specific song anymore because I don't choose the song, you do.
Yeah, and that's where some of the problems started. Because you would take your time to edit the reel to the music, and I would just throw a song on, and sometimes it would work, but sometimes we wouldn't get the benefit of it being really engaging and snappy and sharp, which you do get when you edit things to the music. So that has been something that I have been thinking about and trying to do better myself now when I pick a song. I'm still experimenting, I guess, when it comes to choosing music, and I feel like there isn't a right or wrong approach. Like, some people will say, oh, choose a trending reel that only has a couple of thousand uses on it so that it's really on the rise. Some people will say, choose music that relates to what you are sharing, and maybe even share a bit of your own personality through the song choices that you choose, because sometimes you might choose music that fits a kind of category. So if you're creating reels that are really relaxing and slow, then you might choose some of those more instrumental type songs, slower songs, and stick to that. So it depends.
I remember we made a reel and you put Adele to the reel and it was the perfect match.
And it's funny, it's music, so it's extremely personal. So sometimes I would put a song on and you would say to me,
what's this?
What on earth have you just put on? Like, I'd ruined the reel.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, but it's a trending song at the moment. And you'd be like, it's a terrible song.
Yeah, it just doesn't match. Yeah.
Just to go back to what I was going to ask you about this change that we've made. So we've started making the reels shorter. I think one of the mistakes that we both made was feeling like we needed to put everything into a reel. And what I've learned is that if you keep it really simple, it's very effective. So rather than trying to teach a bunch of techniques in a reel, if you are creating a how-to reel, just hone in on one small aspect of your process. It might be that you make a reel about how you start a background or how you use a certain supply, and keep it simple. My natural instinct is to overcomplicate things and want to include 10 examples of how you might use a supply. But what we started doing was really dialing things back. And some of our most successful reels have been one simple tip or 5 ways to use a neo color to pastel or something like that. And what you are referring to is some of the reels that we have created, which are more promotional reels where we are creating a reel to showcase a class or a free resource that we have. And I came into you earlier this year and said, I think what I'd like to do is try creating some reels for our free classes and keeping them to 15 seconds. So what we did is looked at the footage that we had and picked the most juicy action. And we got rid of a lot of the setting the scene stuff that we often included in trailers. So in trailers, we would include shots of swatching colors and mixing paints and sort of guide people into a technique.
When we first started doing it, we just took existing trailers and just literally took the best bits out. I would bring the trailer into the editing program. I would remove the music. I'd get rid of the beginning and the end. And then I would chop out anything that didn't have action in it. A minute and a half to a 2 minute video would then come down to about 50 seconds. And then you and I would sit together and you'd say, right, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that. And then we'd bring it all down and get to around 20 seconds. I know we were aiming for 15 seconds, but if we could sharpen it up or tighten it up and bring it to 15, we would. But if it was really good at 20, you'd leave it at 20.
Yeah. And then we started to bring text in as well to help with telling the story and encouraging people to go to the caption to get more information. So it would be really simple text messages saying that, you know, get your creative juices going or something like that. Free course. So these were our free resources. So we really wanted to emphasize that there was a free course or a free guide. And then we've been using ManyChat, which is a chatbot type thing where you comment in the comments and then you get the link for the free course or the freebie sent directly into the DMs. And so we made that shift to the 15 second approach with those freebies, and they did really well as short form reels that were only 15 seconds. I probably would have done well if we did them even shorter, but we decided we wanted to get a little bit of that content in to show people what the course was like or what the resource was like. I feel like that shift was something that was helpful for us. I'm not saying that there aren't other approaches, but in general, shortening the content to suit reels, which are consumed generally in that quite fast-paced way, has been something that took us a while, but we've got there now. Well, whenever we create video content, you and I, we have different things that we're perfectionistic about. So I'll be fine with the footage, like the light will change or something like that. And I'll be like, that's fine. I love the art in it. It looks really good. And you'll be like, we can't use that. And then you'll put up a caption that's got spelling mistakes and grammar mistakes. And I'll be like, that has to be redone. We can't put that up. And so it's just, this is just part of working together. Things that you notice, I don't, and things that I notice, you don't. So hopefully when we combine those two things together, we get something pretty good. So I think that might be, I always say this, I think that might be a good place to end the episode. But let's go back to the list that I wrote, since I did go to the trouble of writing a list of mistakes that you should avoid when making reels. So let's run through them and see if we've covered everything.
The main points, just to, you know, summarize, not editing to the music, not shortening your footage, not maximizing caption engagement, not measuring correct metrics. So like views aren't everything. Not understanding the purpose of sharing reels. I feel attacked here. Like, this is everything I kind of pushed back against, but everything I struggled with when we had to shorten everything to 15 seconds.
Yeah. Richie's actually been quite hard to work with in relation to reels. He's not a reels man at all.
But you're not telling your story. And you're like, I don't care.
Your resistance has been very high.
Yes. Not trying different formats. So that's like tutorials. That's not formats as in aspect ratio.
That's not trying different types of reels. So
not utilizing text effectively. So enhanced storytelling and engagement.
Yeah, because we have found that adding text into the video, now you don't necessarily need to add text into every reel that you create, but it can be a helpful tool. And I have shared some text where I'm talking about a more motivational element of art. So I think I shared a reel where I talked about the fact that it doesn't matter what other people think when you are creating, that creating is for yourself. And that was really popular. And then I've used reels with tips and things like that. I found that adding in some specific instructions into a tutorial type reel can really add to the experience of the reel. So that's an extra step. It takes a little bit more work, but it can be worthwhile. And also you can drive people to your caption. We've all seen reels that say, read more in the caption. It is a way of getting people to go into your caption where you can provide more information, particularly if you are sharing a tip and taking a bit of time to go through the steps of your tip or your supplies. That can be very helpful. We've certainly seen that. One thing that I will mention is really important with reels in relation to your caption is having something at the beginning that hooks people in the caption, because you don't see the whole caption. You really only see that first line or so. So I have found in reels where I'm very specific in that first line. So this is an amazing tip for watercolor paintings, or even just putting the name of the tip, you know, or perhaps something that resonates with people, like, do you struggle with this? Right at the beginning has been a great way of getting people to engage, to read the caption, and then to comment. So often in my caption, I will say something like, was this tip helpful? Or do you have any other tips to share? What's your biggest struggle? And just open up the conversation. Or you might ask people what their favorite paint is, or anything in relation to what you're sharing, and continue that conversation in the comments. Yeah, there's a lot to consider with a reel. And then you have your cover image. So if you save it onto your feed, and then people can go into the reels part of Instagram and see there's a cover image. So you're thinking about quite a few different elements when you are creating a reel. You have your footage, you have your music that you add, or your audio, you have the caption that people read, but then you also have the captions, as you say, on the actual video, or subtitles, or whatever it is. Like if you have an audio clip, if you are adding captions to it, or if you are adding text to tell the story, a text overlay. So yes, there are quite a few different elements that you can add into your reels, and you don't have to use them all, but I do think that it's a good idea to, from time to time, just go onto Reels, flick through, and just save things that capture your interest. And I have a folder that I save them into. So if I see something that's a good idea, I'll pop it into a folder as a real idea. And it's not that I have the intention of copying that in its exact format, but it might just be an interesting concept to use, and I can then apply it to the way that I do things and mix it up a bit. So that's always helpful, to stay on top of what's happening in Reels, because it's always changing, and just to accumulate ideas. And then from time to time, when you are in a place where you're not sure what type of reel to share, you just have a look at that, and that might give you some ideas.
Last week we did a podcast on Pinterest. And I knew nothing about Pinterest, and I really enjoyed the conversation we had. And I think that episode did quite well. So maybe next season we could do an episode like that on Reels.
Yeah, well, are you talking about the technical side of making a reel?
Yeah.
The specifics of making. So today we've been talking more about, I guess, reel strategy, like your strategy with reels, and you're talking about actually how do you go about making reels. So if anyone's interested in that and going a bit deeper with reels, then certainly let us know. So I think we'll definitely wrap things up now. Hopefully this episode has been interesting. You can hear that we've had a real tussle in relation to reels and quite a bit of resistance both from me and Richie, probably more Richie, to be honest. But you might relate to that because I feel like many artists and creatives have had a huge amount of resistance to reels, and it is time consuming. It's frustrating. And we talked about that in last week's episode where we said that we were nostalgic and would reminisce about the days when we could just take a photograph of our work and share that. And now it feels like we have to learn all these new things all the time, that there's these trends, and it does feel never ending. And that's something that we've had to come to grips with and figure out how we can work together and how we can create reels from the content that we already have, and what are some simple tips and tricks that we can apply so we're not ignoring what's out there. We are listening and learning and adapting our process, but at the same time, staying true to what we feel good about as creatives. And I feel like that's the main message that I want to get across. And one thing I wanted to touch on that we didn't really talk about is that you can have a reel go viral, but it may not even relate to what it is that you do. And it may not get people over to your art or help you sell your art or your classes. It might go viral because it's entertaining, it's funny, and that's great. You might bring a whole lot of new people in, but are those people going to stick around, or are they even going to create a headache for you? Because I've heard of people who have had reels go viral and then regretted it because now they're getting nasty comments and messages because people came for one thing and then they're seeing more of your stuff and it's not what they expected, or it hasn't connected with them in the maybe the way that that initial reel did, and suddenly you've got people who are hating on you rather than being a lovely member of your community. So sometimes having something go viral isn't necessarily a great thing. And also with your metrics, just to touch on that as well, I often see people talking about they got all these views on a reel, but then when you look at some of their other metrics, I find it interesting because they might have a huge amount of views, but they don't have many saves or shares or even likes on that same reel. And I sometimes wonder, okay, it's been pushed out massively, but the other metrics that really measure engagement are low. So you've got high views, but you don't necessarily have very high engaging stats. So I always look at how many saves and how many shares there are on my reels as well, because views is tricky, because sometimes the algorithm will just push your stuff out to a whole lot of people, but are they really looking at it? Are they really engaging with it? So I try and look at the full range of metrics. And then I also take breaks from looking at metrics at all. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think you should have a little look every now and then, but also sometimes it's nice to just create because it's what you want to create. Okay, I think we've reached the end. Thank you very much for listening. If you've made it this far, you've done well. This has been quite a convoluted conversation about reels, but anyway, I hope it's been interesting and that you've taken something from it. As always, I do like to mention that you can find me over on Instagram at Laura Horn Art. So if you want to check out some of the reels that we've shared over there, you can certainly do that. You can also find out more about my art and classes and things like that over at our website, laurahornart.com. And thank you very much for everyone who continues to listen in, share stories, share reviews. We actually just read through some of the reviews when we sat down today. So they really do mean a lot to us. They fire us up to continue these conversations, and we're very, very appreciative.